fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Wednesday, it is Wednesday, the third day of April, year of our Lord, 2024. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Live broadcast begin right now at Republic Broadcasting with the John Moore Show. And we begin my show with the Pledge of Allegiance. Should be done in every public and every private school every day of the year. All right. We do begin the Pledge of Allegiance, so here we go. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hat, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip today, and we got some time, so we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail, is to get spare parts for your rifle. That's right, get spare parts for your rifle. You can expand out from there, but if you have one particular rifle you would like to defend your home, your family with, we'll start with that one. Now, here's what breaks on most modern firearms. Firing pins, extractors, and springs. On the AR-15, there's another particularly vulnerable part. That's the bolt hold open piece that holds open the bolt when you push the pull the bolt back. That's in almost all of these. It's cast and it needs to be a machine part. The cast ones, well, they don't hold up. So if you know how to do this, if you know how to order those parts, God bless you. If you know how to properly install them, God bless you again. Many of you don't. So if you don't, I suggest you find a certified gunsmith, not somebody who does work on a kitchen table and never went to gunsmithing school. A certified gunsmith. And you tell them, you may want to bring the rifle with you, that you want a spare firing pin, you want a spare extractor. There could be 2 or even 3 extractors on a rifle, but typically there's only 1 extractor. And you want 1 of each of the springs that go inside that rifle. There could be 3 or 4, there could be 6. And they should be able to order those parts for you. Now, you may have shot the same rifle for 20 years with no trouble. That's a blessing, obviously, on one hand. On the other, things break. And your $500 rifle, your $1,000 rifle, your $12,000 rifle, depending on what you've got, could become a 5-pound or 10-pound doorstop and not much use for anything else if a $1 spring breaks, if a $2 firing pin breaks, if an extractor breaks. And how tragic would that be? Of course it would be. So, it also adds value when it comes time to sell it. I had one rifle, a Armalite AR-180 that I bought new, one of the ones manufactured by Costa Mesa. And I had a gunsmith order two of everything, two springs of every spring, all properly labeled in their own plastic bag with the part number, two extractors, and two firing pins. When it came time to sell it, because the collector's value had exceeded its value to me, I got a premium price for that rifle because I had gone to the trouble to get those spare parts. So that's that'd be a smart thing to do. Now, if you live in my area, I live in Crawford County. The gunsmith I use for things like this is Dake. That's D-A-K-E, Delta Alpha Kilo Echo, Dake Gunsmithing. I'll give you the phone number twice. They're in beautiful downtown Cuba, Missouri. Here's that phone number twice, and they'll be open for business today. 573-677-0373. I say again, 573-677-0373. The owner is a professional. His name is Brad, Brad Dake. I know him. I know his dad. His father is the coroner of Crawford County. Great guy also. And he does excellent professional work when it comes to gunsmithing matters. He also sells guns and ammunition, by the way, as well. Okay, we're hoping that Bill Federer would be with us. He's not available this morning. Bill's a busy guy, catching planes, ride back and forth around the country for his various speaking engagements, so it doesn't look like he'll be with us for the time being. That could change. Meantime, we have open lines at 512-248-8252. This weekend, I'll be speaking at the Hear the Watchman Conference in Dallas, Texas. My topic will be the following topic: the consequences of the worst crime in human history, consequences of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot. I just read an article this morning by a world-class virologist. Let's see if I can find that real quick and get some more details for you, so I'm not talking off the top of my head here. Okay. It may be this one, or it may be the next one. Let's see which one it is. And very disturbing, to say the least. Let's see. No, it wasn't that one. Here we go. I think this is the one here. This virologist says that we're at the cusp, at the beginning of a worldwide kill off. Here we go. And we should be able to get this here pretty quick. Of people who got the vaccination and one or more boosters. Dr. Gert van den Bosch, he's a European, a Belgian virologist. He's certified in both virology and microbiology. The inventor of a patent application for universal vaccines. That's not good. Author 30 peer-reviewed publications. And he's an independent research consultant. What he's saying is because people got these COVID clot shots, that they basically have wrecked their immune system. And they're going to be catching diseases that will kill them. He calls it a massive, massive tsunami of illness and death among the highly vaccinated population with compromised immune systems. No surprise. It's just more evidence on top of the evidence we already have of what will be taking place. this year, calendar year 2024, and we're already into the fourth year, months of the year, and next year, 2025. He says it will wreck our society. The society as we know it will collapse. The hospital system will collapse. And other things that we depend on because of so many people getting sick and dying, people in critical positions. Well, look at the healthcare system. There may be 5% of the men and women who are doctors and nurses and other people in the healthcare profession that did not get the clot shot. That 5% is pretty optimistic, which means 95%, and this is based on my personal observation, 95% did get the COVID vaccination and boosters. That's a big part of our healthcare. That is our healthcare system. It is. It'll be devastated. People who fill their prescriptions, the pharmacists, once again, probably 95% of them got the COVID clot shot and boosters. That takes care of the rest of our healthcare system, doesn't it? Let's look at aviation. Almost all the commercial pilots, almost all the men and women who do the maintenance on the aircraft, they got a COVID clot shot. So we'll have nobody to fly the planes and nobody to maintain them and authorize people to fly them. That'll wreck our economy by itself, won't it? U.S. military. It was mandated that every man and woman in the U.S. military, all branches, Army, Navy, Air Force, Space Force, Coast Guard, Marines, get the clot shot. Very few exceptions, tiny, tiny percentage of exceptions. It will be devastating to our U.S. military. And you can extrapolate from that into the rest of society. Police departments, fire departments, paramedics, same thing. Mandated vaccinations. I don't know what the world will look like a year or two from now. It's not looking very good. Dr. Vanden Bosch recommends that people not get sick. Well, that's good luck on that. Unless you live in a cave and have food lowered to you by a rope, how are you going to avoid being in contact with people? How are you going to do that? I don't see how it's possible. I really don't. So you can probably cut down on your exposure to other people. And I do recommend ivermectin as a prophylactic. He says you need to take antivirals as a prophylactic. Well, ivermectin is an antiviral, and it is an excellent, safe prophylactic for keeping yourself healthy. That's probably the best thing I could recommend if I was going to recommend anything, is to take ivermectin prophylactically. My wife and I have started doing that. Anytime we're out in public around a group of people, we come home, we take our ivermectin, and so far it's been a good program for us. So far. This is a depopulation effort worldwide. It won't affect South Asia that much. India, for example, won't affect Africa that much, especially the interior of the country where they've been taking ivermectin. Much of South America won't be affected, despite once you get away from the cities. We're basically looking at something that will devastate the first world. United States, Canada, Europe. That's what's going to be devastated. Now, Japan, a little bit late. Japan no longer recommends the COVID vaccinations as part of a recommended vaccination program for people. About 3 years too late, but at least they did it. I've been recommending for a number of years that the best way to have a good life, a great life during a long-term crisis is to be part of a hobby farm. I've had, and I keep bumping into people, I go to these conferences, for example, Ed Griffin's son moved to the Ozarks as a consequence of listening to my show. That was gratifying. And Mr. Griffin himself still lives in Thousand Oaks, California. beautiful place for the time being. Let's talk about hobby farms for a bit. First of all, what is a hobby farm? Well, it can be 3 acres or 5 acres or 20 acres. The acreage doesn't matter. 5 acres is big enough for most families, quite frankly, to have a grow enough. 5 acres, if it's properly managed, is enough acreage to grow all the family's food needs on that 5 acres. I'm not saying it would be easy, but I'm saying it is possible. My family had 5 acres out in Jefferson County, Missouri, when I was in high school. It was previously a fruit orchard. Regardless, a hobby farm is where the fruits and vegetables, meat, milk, whatever is produced there is primarily meant for consumption by the people that live there. Obviously, if you have a surplus of anything, whether it's milk or tomatoes or apples or whatever it might be, you sell those at the local farmer's market. And it's a challenge. You take undeveloped land and you want to have a hobby farm, within 3 years of hard work, you may be feeding half what the family needs, and that's quite frankly optimistic. Within 5 years, you may be approaching a point where you're meeting most of your family's nutritional needs. This doesn't just happen overnight. Having money helps, but doesn't speed it up all that much. It's hard work. It's hard manual labor, quite frankly. Don't fool yourself about that. So if you want to get up to speed on how to have a hobby farm, talk to local gardeners in your neighborhood. They know the soil conditions in your neighborhood. They know the weather conditions, the precipitation, the temperature in the various seasons in your neighborhood. You'll gain more knowledge from that person than you would from almost any other source, quite frankly. If there is a gardening club in your area, I encourage you to join a gardening club. It's going to be a mixed bag of people interested only in ornamentals, people only interested in fruits and vegetables, and, of course, people interested in both. One of the things I've learned about gardening is that there's plants that will discourage insects from attacking the fruits and vegetables that you're growing. That's a very inexpensive and healthy way to keep the bugs away from eating up all your fruits and vegetables. If you have deer in your area, and many areas do have deer, some places might be antelope, but if you have deer, they can jump a pretty high fence. I would suggest an 8-foot fence to keep the deer out. Rabbits can be incredibly destructive. Squirrels, not quite so much. Need a tight fence to keep those critters out. That's where dogs come in. A dog will protect your garden from all the critters that want to eat up your fruits and vegetables. And depending on the breed, I'm no dog expert, but depending on the breed, they can do an excellent job of keeping the deer away, the raccoons, squirrels, the rabbits. There's lots of critters that would like to have dying in your garden and get the tasty fruits and vegetables that you've been growing there. So dogs are excellent for that. And you may want to have at least 2 dogs. The dogs like to have a companion of some sort. Our dog has a cat for a companion of all things, and they seem to get along right well with always looking and cleaning on each other, and they seem quite happy with each other. But do your homework. Determine which dog or dogs would be the best for your place. Now, if you have chickens, you need to make sure that the dogs protect the chickens but don't want to eat them. As my grandmother would tell me, she said when the dog gets a taste of that chicken blood, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't break them out of that. They'll seek out these chickens and eat them. In my neighborhood, we have issues with American eagles dining on chickens. They'll swoop down, pick up the chicken, and carry it off and eat it up. There's other raptors that want to go after chickens as well, and some of them are big enough to pick up a small dog, by the way. Health Simple, Colorado Shilajit. And that's an issue. My one neighbor has chicken wire covering the chicken enclosure so that the American eagles and other raptors can't get down and get these. Here's our break. We'll be right back.
To achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Rasayana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. If you're tired of being tired, you need an Energy Clear. Arthritis pain, joint pain got you down, you also need an Energy Clear. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Clear, available at my website at thelibertyman.com. You can make your purchase with credit cards or PayPal at thelibertyman.com. We've got a caller on hold here. We've got Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, I'm a fan of the Great Pyrenees. Now, I haven't had the smaller versions. I've had the kind of standard-sized Great Pyrenees. One of the first ones I had dug up all the ground moles he could find. It was amazing.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he'd sit with his nose pointed at the ground, and you could tell he was hearing those things in the ground, yeah. And he'd trap them and dig them up. It was awesome. But I'd had to train him, and even had we had a pound puppy that we, I think it was half chow and poodle. We trained them with squirt guns to leave the chickens alone, and that worked great.
Okay.
But you run into temperament with dogs. The pound puppy that we rescued was extremely jealous when we brought our son home, about 80 mub, when I brought that Pyrenees pup home. she was ridiculously jealous of the other dog. Mm-hmm. It took a little while, but, you know, they acclimated. So you have to test this out, is what I'm getting at. You kind of have to, it took us a few years to give up on that dog, but that dog, the Scooter, we called her, would let other strays on our property to, hey, come on, here's a chicken, sure, love to have, great, take a chicken, that's no problem. So we finally got rid of that dog. I found a wonderful old man that took her and spoiled her rotten.
Right.
But
right.
Dogs have a range of personalities. It's amazing.
It is.
And temperament
is.
And usefulness, you know. So I like
Pyrenees are chickens. A big dog. The adult Pyrenees gets how big?
Oh, they range 110 to maybe 120 pounds, and they need a lot of water. But they'll eat all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, dog food is expensive. But, a bone pit. Nobody talks about it. The news media has ran it down for decades here in Kentucky. You need a bone pit on your working farm to take, all the dead animals to, and have a buzzard shoot every now and then. They're protected. But when you get a surplus of buzzards, a net to go over that bone pit, you wait for them to get in there, and you can take care of the surplus of buzzards real quick. Then you have a bone fire, and then you recover the phosphorus and stuff out of that. Working farms used to have this. You know, the old gray mare, when she gets old,
right?
Give her a last carrot or something and lead her to the bone pit.
Right.
And take care of that mouth to feed that, you know, becomes not practicable to keep. You have this problem, lame horses or large animals, donkeys, whatever, you know, that you have to deal with, that you don't want to keep digging a grave for a large animal.
Well, not by hand anyway, no.
Well, not by, you don't want to waste the diesel fuel at some point. If things get as bad as, you know, some people depict it could get, you know, I don't think you're going to have to worry so much about law enforcement or the media coming out and raking your family farm over the coals for having an old-fashioned bone pit. People right. had methods to deal with this stuff. You know, you can still find old farms that have dug into the bank root cellars, you know.
Oh, yeah. I see those all the time traveling around the Ozarks. Yeah.
People have forgotten what they're for, you know.
Well, that took place of refrigerators and what they did.
Well, and, you know, we've got neighbors now that don't appreciate our chickens, but I schooled one of them. I said, look, we don't have as many mice because of our free-range chickens. We don't have as many copperheads. When we moved out here, the neighbors were trying to scare the crap out of us, saying, oh, there's copperheads all over out here. You know, better be careful. Can't raise a family out here for the copperheads.
Right.
And we did have mouse problems for a while, but I figured out how to rig up a bucket trap. Save everything that you need to save. Like, I save all the oil off my peanut butter. I like natural peanut butter. I save that. That is wonderful in one of these bucket traps to catch mice. My record is about 17 mice in one night.
Well, describe a bucket trap.
Antifreeze in the winter to keep it from freezing.
Describe a bucket trap for us
here. What now?
Describe a bucket trap for us, if you would, please.
Okay, you need like a ramp, and you need a door that's small enough. If you don't want to catch chipmunks and squirrels, you got to make the little hole small enough. But you take a hot coat hanger, and I like the plastic coffee can. You run the hot coat hanger through the plastic bucket, and then suspend your coffee can in there, and then you make
a little door.
Hold on,
we'll get back to your description after the break. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Ladies and gentlemen, my website is thelibertyman.com. We add to my COVID panel several times a week. I just sent two articles there for my webmaster to post. And an additional article by Dr. Michael Yaden is going into insights into real history. Dr. Yaden, it's a video report, making some very dire predictions about where our society is headed as a consequence of the COVID-19 vaccination clot shots. And, of course, at my website, you'll find products that will help you, such as the Energy Cleaner. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, the Energy Cleaner will help. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner. So you can place your order for your Energy Cleaner right there at my website using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. If you want to give up your credit card on the Internet, just call my toll-free line. It's 800-592-9543. Mike, this is fascinating. Bucket trap. I've got some store-bought bucket traps for mice, but tell us about how you build yours.
Well, you need a little cut piece of timber or a stick or something to allow the rodent, what it might be, to get up there, rat, or I've caught chipmunks. And I kind of discovered this by accident when, you know, I had chipmunks falling into rain buckets and drowning. And then I got on the Internet and found a plan to make it. And you just cut a little hole based on the size you expect to catch of what you're trying to catch. You make it smaller for mice, or if you've got, we've got Allegheny rats around here, or Tennessee rats, they're quite large and they're conniving. They're very smart. But you make a ramp approximately maybe 2.5 feet long. You can put your peanut oil on that, and it'll draw them right up to the hole in the side of the bucket near the top, near the lid. And in the wintertime, you want to use antifreeze of some mix, 50-50, because you don't want the water in the bottom to freeze about 2 inches or so.
Right.
And then they'll try to jump on that coffee can that you've suspended on the coat hanger wire, and they'll fall into that and drown. I mean, that's in cold weather, they won't last very long in that cold weather. So if you're worried about them suffering or whatever, they'll probably have hypothermia before they can drown. But my record is, I think I caught, I don't know, about 16 or 17 in one night. And after I did that, boy, they fell down. The population dropped precipitously out after that. I did not catch more than 3 or 4 at a time for a few weeks. And I've still got that trap, but I haven't had to use it because the chickens will eat a lot of mice. But they
I didn't know a chicken could catch a mouse. I didn't know that was even possible.
I've talked to some commercial chicken farmers that say when they find a nest of baby mice, they eat them like oysters.
Baby mice. I can see that.
But chickens can, they're like velociraptors or something. I've seen them eating frogs, which not hard to catch, really, but I don't know that they truly sleep. But they will spot motion. I've snuck up on them with using a red light. This is another reason I have a red flashlight. You're trying to catch your free-range chickens that don't roost in the coop. You need a red light. You have to be very sneaky to get them and grab them by the legs, you know. Because they sense motion, just like is depicted in that movie Jurassic Park. The dinosaurs could see motion. If you didn't move, they didn't see you. But you kind of have to, using that red light, you can see, and it doesn't ruin your night vision. You know, you can see better with the red light at night without causing your pupil to constrict. So you need a red flashlight on a farm. The LED ones made for bicycles and stuff are nice. But and they have rechargeable ones. You don't have to worry about the batteries. But the Pyrenees dogs and my cat, over the years, they've formed a co-op, you might say, where the cat would leap around the trees and knock squirrels down to the Pyrenees to play with and kill. House cats are indispensable, and you can't feed them or have them as an indoor cat, you know, maybe indoor-outdoor cat, but you can't feed them too much. I think that's the thing with chickens, too. If you free-range your chickens, you don't want to feed them as much as you would cooped-up chickens, which is good because they'll also go after ticks. They also go after chiggers. I hate chiggers. Ugh. Chickens will eat all kinds of insects, in addition to worms and things like that. The hard part is keeping them out of your garden. You have to double wrap your garden with chicken wire to keep them out of there. But anyway, there's a few things that to me, the welfare system could be reformed to bring back poor farms.
They were called the county farm.
Right. Or poor farms. Yeah, that system worked. And I'll tell you what, there's been times in my life where I would go live and work on a poor farm. And it's probably hard to get rid of people because that farm life is a lower stress way of living for folks that, you know, aren't really compatible with our modern city life.
It would be considered cruel to have people actually work for their meals, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's a volunteer thing. You know, all law is contract, and if you volunteer to work on a poor farm, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, contract-wise.
No, not at all.
But the people are being economically trapped now. I mean, they don't see it. But economically, a lot of people are trapped into the life.
Well, it's called a welfare plantation for a reason, isn't it, Mike?
Well, I mean, just the wage slave mentality, the wage slave economics have trapped a lot of people. They can't even dream of going to work on live on a farm. They're trapped in a low wage job and can't afford to leave the city. You know, that sort of stuff. I've tried to talk to law enforcement about this, about how we need a deputized. Every county needs probably 60 or 80 trained veterans to guard the stores. If the grid goes down, instead of...
Well, that's called the militia. And the sheriff can deputize the militia to do those jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to be prepared before something happens. If the grid goes down, instead of 4 or 5 hours of looting, you could ration stuff out for weeks, and maybe the trucks would start running again. You know, if you had a militia, whatever you want to call it, a special deputy force, you know, people don't like the word militia. The left especially doesn't, or the propagandized population does not like the word militia. But if you were to call them a emergency security force or something like that, and use people that already have some training, but you need about... All these dollar stores, I don't know if you've had this happen in Missouri, but we've got Family Dollar and Dollar General stores popping up everywhere, and they're taking out the old, what's left of the old mom-and-pop country grocery store. And the vast majority of them don't have gas pumps. So now you're dealing with having to go much further distance to get gasoline, because the old, you know, mom-and-pop gas stations have give up. What ones haven't been taken over by... You know, refugees.
Well, it's hard to compete against a dollar store. It's hard to compete against a dollar store. Very.
It is, but every dollar store is vulnerable to looting. If the grid goes down, you need two or three guys to run in shifts to guard that inventory.
That's right.
And
that's right.
It would be looted within hours. The store would be just overrun with ransacking.
Mike, I need to let you go here because guest, Bill Federer, just called in. Thank you for the call, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
Okay, and it looks like we have Bill Federer with us. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, John. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us, as always. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Bill Federer, he's the author of about 24+ books. And we talk about one book a lot, but it's not the only book. The one we talk about a lot is titled, What Every American Needs to Know About the Quran. The subtitle is A History of Islam in the United States. Well, Bill, we got you for about 17 minutes here, and what's new with you, sir?
Well, I was amazed that on Easter week that the Westminster Cathedral in London flew a Pakistani flag. It was quite disconcerting to people that's the most important Christian cathedral in all of England. That's where all the kings get crowned for centuries, and but right. To have a Pakistani Muslim flag flying on top of it, that the concern is that the immigrants are outpopulating the English people. And
well, that's the Church of England, obviously. And this is not flying a flag is not a matter of decoration. It's a matter of or has a legal significance to that in terms of authority and so forth, isn't there, Bill?
Right. So the fundamental Muslims cannot separate religion from politics, from military. And so whenever they go into an area and they build a mosque, the saying is that everything within sight of that mosque is now claimed for Islam. So, you know, we have a church and you can drive by the church and you think, well, you know, maybe they're knocking on doors in the neighborhood, but they don't like claim it. But not so in Islam. They view that as a occupied territory. And so you see lots of the immigrants coming into Western European countries and they're having more children. And so the Europeans have bought into climate change, overpopulation. They're having fewer kids. And the Muslim immigrants have not bought into that. And so they're coming in, signing up for welfare. And then the system is designed to facilitate this. So a Muslim man can have four wives. He puts them in different apartments. He visits them. They go down to the welfare office and say, my husband's not around, and they get welfare checks. And the more children they have, the larger the welfare checks get. And so these guys can live like kings with their harems, and all the kids playing in the street are their kids, and the government's paying for it all. They did an interview with Ajim Choudhary, and he started Islam for UK years ago. And they said, don't you feel bad that you're living off the English people while you're saying that you want to, you know, conquer them? He goes, no, Allah permits us to live off the infidel while we are subduing them. And so it's a parasitic type of mindset that it's sucking the life out of a culture, and its goal is to eventually kill the culture. And the Western mind, for that matter, even the Hindu mind, when the Muslims built their first mosque in India, way back in the, you know, maybe the 1100s or around that time, that the Hindu mind was, well, we got all these different gods. Some say 360 million of them. And so when Islam came in, they go, oh, another god, fine, the water's warm, come on in. And they actually helped them to build their first mosques.
Right.
The Hindu mind could not conceive of an exclusive religion. No, it's just ours. Yeah, right, sure, come on in. No, it's just ours. None of it. And so when they began to take over northern India with Islam, the Hindus were sort of dumbfounded. And but the Western mind, we've bought into tolerance so much. It's like, okay, you're going to tolerate people that want to kill you. Yeah, right, sure. You know, it's okay. No, really. They want to kill, you know. And so that's why it's so amazing that people with a left type of mindset think that they can tolerate everything, and you'll have the
right. Well, let's look at Pakistan a little bit deeper. Now, the average IQ of Pakistan adults is 80. That means there's as many people with a 60 as there is with 100. Now, 80 IQ is borderline retarded. A person with a 80 IQ can work if they are closely supervised. Say, packing items to be shipped, they could probably do that. Maybe do sweep the street under supervision. But in a modern Western world, a person with an 80 IQ is going to be very limited in being a productive part of society. They simply don't have the mental capacity when the average is 80. Now, let's look at the rest of them. We got a percentage of Pakistanis who have 100 IQ, which they could probably function okay, and a just as big a percentage with a 60 IQ, which means that they can't do much even with supervision. There's very serious limitations when it comes to what a Pakistani can do in modern Western culture to be productive, isn't there, Bill?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And then when you add to that the message of an imam in these radical mosques is that if they die in jihad, they'll go to a paradise that's filled full of virgins. And so they have this sex drive, and they'll be told that they're one push of a button on a bomb, you know, blowing themselves up and being at this party. And so it's a very enticing proposal. I've talked to Muslims who have left that, and they talked about being in the mosque and the imam describing in quite detail what paradise will be like, and stirs these guys up lustfully, and then goes out and sends them on their terrorist attacks. And so the Western mind can't conceive that.
It's difficult.
It's a sin. But they combined lust and religious fervor together. Very powerful human motivations.
Well, in Pakistan, it's quite proper and quite normal for men to marry 9-year-old girls. It's a normal, accepted policy, isn't it?
Right. The girls as well as boys. And so in a Muslim country, the typical boy's first experience with with sex as being abused by an older boy. So in the West, you had the bully beats up the kid. In Pakistan and those type of countries, the bully beats up the kid and rapes him. And so I actually spent several hours on a plane with a 30-year military intelligence officer, and he was talking about how they're taught to not offend the Muslims, and they read these books called The Kite Runner and something with tea, and but it's basically stories of the how it's normal over there to have this type of behavior and to not be upset about it when you see it. This is their culture. And I said, well, you have to understand that when you're really sensitive not to offend their culture, you're posturing yourself as having been defeated, because the conquered cannot offend the conqueror. And right. So when you're going right. over there, being real careful not to offend them, they view that as you're submitted and you're a occupying, you're a servant army. That's right. The way the Ottoman Turks viewed the Janissaries, which were captured Christian boys that were raised to the military. The Egyptians would have a slave army called Mamluks. And so they view the West as a slave army, so to speak, that we're doing their bidding and that we have to be really careful not to offend them. And so when I shared this with him, he's like, oh, you need to speak at our war college. And it's like, right. Well, unfortunately, people that, you know, both you and I know, Frank Gaffney, right. John Guandolo, right. for years, right. they were warning of the Islamists. And when Obama gets in, he puts the people they were warning of into the positions. And now you've got so many that it'd be extremely difficult, if ever, to try to extricate that.
It would be difficult. And when President Trump will be reelected, all things being equal, he's got his work cut out for him to undo more than a decade's worth of this kind of silliness, doesn't he?
Well, yes, he does. And Frank Gaffney, he did a podcast where he said that they would probably try an inside military coup on him. So we have our work cut out for us. I always have to go back to faith, and there's always been crises, and the stories we love the best is when it looks really bad, and the good Lord raises up people that are small in their own eyes but big in faith and courage to turn things around. And so this is our turn. So all things are possible, but it is something where the last generation has gone to sleep, and that's why it irks me to no end to run into people that say, oh, I don't vote, or I'm not going to get involved in politics. And it's like, you know, by you not getting involved, you're giving consent to everything that's going on. It's called the rule of tacit admission, T-A-C-I-T. And it's in a wedding ceremony. The pastor says, whoever's against the wedding, speak now or forever hold your peace. So if you're there and you're holding your peace and you're silent, your silence is actually giving consent to the wedding vows.
That's right.
And so if they're killing kids with abortion or they're teaching the trans agenda and you're silent, you're giving consent to that. And Jesus said, if you allow one of these little ones that believes in me to stumble, better than a millstone be put around your neck and be thrown in the depths of the sea. So all these people that think they're being spiritual, oh, we're just going to focus on the gospel, we're not going to get involved in politics. Well, you're giving consent by your silence to every wicked thing out there. You're an accessory. You're going to be judged.
Bill, we have a large Catholic audience to listen to the John Moore radio show. And if a Catholic parishioner and their parish priest is inviting Muslims to socialize with the Catholics in the Catholic Church, is it the responsibility of the Catholic parishioner to speak up, or what should they do, Bill?
Yeah, every single person, it's their responsibility to speak up. So the Muslims have a two-pronged offensive. One is military, and the other is infiltration. And it's sort of a fast versus slow, but it's both an aggressive type of behavior. And so the infiltration phase is they do something of, let's talk about what we all have in common. And so they want to have these, you know, sit down meetings, and it's always you have to give up something to accommodate us. It's never them giving up some of their beliefs to accommodate you.
Right.
In Minneapolis, I was up there, and they talked about all the Muslims coming into the public schools. And they said that you're hateful, and you don't even know it, that you have Saturday and Sunday off rather than Friday, which is the Muslims' day. You celebrate Easter and Christmas, and that's offensive to us because those are Christian holidays. And you have to unlearn everything. You have to unpackage everything. Everything that you've been taught, you have to unlearn. In other words, you have to deconstruct your Western mindset, your Judeo-Christian mindset, and submit to us. We're not conquering you, and you cannot offend us. And they said that, so they have rooms where they pray five times a day in their public schools. And they said, well, you Christians can do separation of church and state. We can't. So you can leave your religion at home, but we can't. So if we're coming in, you have to accommodate us. And it's this invasive species type of ideology. And the West is so ignorant of history that they're letting it happen. They guilt trip you into abandoning your culture. And you look at major civilizations, this has sort of been the trend. So the Dutch, they colonized all across the world.
Right.
And then they had a Christian movement, which was good, that said we need to treat the people in these colonies fairly rather than just taking all their, you know, wealth away. But then it took the next step of this guilt tripping that since we did this for so long, we need to bend over backwards. And they would let those people from those colonies come in and then overpopulate, and then sort of the water flows through the pipe in the opposite direction. They end up, and then Britain, it was the biggest empire in the world. And then they, after, you know, World War II, they began to give independence to all of their colonies, Jamaica, India, you know, and then out of guilt, they said, well, we're going to give you special treatment. And they let them come in, and now they're taking over England and overpopulating them. And I was amazed that the chief minister of Scotland is a Muslim, and Yusuf Harmoos or something, and he pushed through the trans agenda, where you
really
can't. It's that if you misuse a pronoun online against a trans person, you've committed a crime. And J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter writer, she said, well, go ahead and arrest me.
Bill, we just had a short visit, but we appreciate it. We look forward to being back next Wednesday, sir.
Thank you. God bless you, John.
Okay. We have top of the hour back break. We'll be back with my friend, Professor James McKinney. Stay tuned.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth! You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.